puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's the first June 2025 edition of Abandon Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we talking about this week?
I often receive emails asking me questions about the history of a particular Manitoba community. I do try to answer those questions, and in trying to find an answer, I invariably turn to local history books because they're a wealth of information that can be found nowhere else. Now, accessing that information is now much easier than it used to be, thanks to a project started a dozen years ago by my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, in collaboration with the University of Manitoba Archives and the Manitoba Library Consortium.
And you say that accessing local history books is much easier now. So how did it used to be done and that made it harder?
Well, I have a personal collection of over 100 local history books, you know, that I can use to refer to, but it's nowhere near the total that exists. It's been estimated that over 1,200 publications, ranging from thick books down to slim pamphlets, that have been written about Manitoba communities. The largest collection of these publications can be found at the Legislative Library of Manitoba on Vaughan Street, not far from the studios here. And another good-sized collection is at the City of Winnipeg's Millennium Library. Now, these collections are very useful, but in my view, they have two significant drawbacks. One is that you can only refer to the books during library hours at the library. The other drawback is that most of these books have no index. And if they do, the index is not as detailed as one would like. Digitizing a local history book and putting a copy online means it's available worldwide, anytime, and it can be searched thoroughly.
So what does it mean to digitize a local history book?
Well, essentially, the process of digitization turns a document consisting of one or more paper pages into an electronic file. The methods to do this range from taking photographs of the pages in a book to cutting off a book's spine, essentially turning that book into a stack of paper that you can then run through a photocopy machine. Either way, you end up with one or more digital files that can then be combined into a single file that's an electronic representation of the original work. Now, that in itself is exceptionally useful because, well, electronic files can be put online easily and they take up no shelf space. In addition to my personal collection of local history books, physical books, I have hundreds more stored on my laptop computer. But the books are made immensely more useful if you use software called Optical Character Recognition, OCR. That software takes pictures of pages of text and turns them into actual text that can be searched. You know, so in the project that I've referred to earlier, we located about 450 of the largest, most substantial local history books and turned them into PDF files, portable document format files, that can be searched in seconds. So if one's looking for, say, a particular person's name or a place, it's now so much faster than the alternative, which would be flipping page. And, you know, if the book's hundreds of pages long, you could be there a very long time.
And now I know what PDF stands for, so thank you. Where did you obtain local history books to digitize?
Well, they came from numerous sources, including the Legislative Library, but also my organization, the MHS, the University of Manitoba Archives, the Manitoba Genealogical Society, and other sources. Libraries around Manitoba contributed copies when they had duplicates. We contacted municipalities around the province and asked if they had a copy of a history book that pertained to their area that they'd be willing to give us. But unfortunately, one method of digitization involves destroying the original. Like when you cut off the spine and turn it into a stack of paper, well, we could therefore not return these sort of donated books. So in a few cases where a particular history book was exceptionally rare, you know, you wouldn't want to destroy that book. So in that case, we would photograph it. Now, that technique does work well, but it, you know, it preserves the book, but it's much more laborious. The results are not as good. And the PDF files were larger. But, you know, at least the original book was saved.
Now, you said that there are over 1,200 local history books, but only about 450 were digitized. What about the rest?
Well, those numbers are a little deceiving because the 450 books that we digitized were what we could call low-hanging fruit. They were the most common books. The remaining books were mostly very rare, and some of them were very thin little pamphlets that, well, didn't frankly have a lot of information in them, or we simply couldn't find some of these books. So I would say that the online collection represents the majority of the information that's in these Manitoba history books, if not the majority of the titles that exist.
Were there any copyright issues that you had to deal with in making these digital books available online?
Well, we did attempt, as best we could, to contact the copyright holders of all the books that were digitized. This, however, was a daunting task, given that most of these books were published anywhere from 30 to 60 years ago, and the community groups that compiled them were often long gone. You know, we did contact municipalities asking, you know, can you put us in touch with a representative of that group from long ago? And in some cases, we were able to make a contact. So we did our best, but there were a couple of cases where we put a digitized book online and then we were subsequently contacted by somebody saying, you know, please remove it. And we always complied immediately with such requests. But we do hope that those people who, you know, wanted them taken offline will reconsider someday, you know, when they see just how useful it is to have a digital copy of their book available, especially if it's rare and therefore hard to find as an original.
How can listeners access these digitized local history books?
Right. Well, you can search the internet on the phrase Manitoba Local Histories, and the collection should be the very first result. It was for me anyway. But if not, you know, if you do have trouble finding it, I created an easy-to-remember shortcut that'll take you right to them. Go to the address MHS, Manitoba Historical Society, .ca/local, mhs.ca/local, and you'll find the whole collection.
And is there an ability to add more books to this online collection?
Yeah, that's right. The digital collection is hosted by the University of Manitoba. Of course, I've got a connection there. And if we obtain copies of books that, for one reason or another, were not included in the original collection, I can arrange to have them added to it. And of course, that's for books that are existing now. You know, if there have been books published since the digitization project was completed, and if there are new local history books in preparation now, well, we'd love to have them someday.
Are there a lot of local history books in preparation?
I can't say that I know for sure. I know about a couple, at least. But I would point out that most of the local history books existing today were published in the 1960s, the 1970s, 1980s, and there haven't been a lot of publications since then. And I think that's unfortunate because the fact that these books are that old means that the books do not capture a community's most recent history. And that's a problem, I think. So for some communities, particularly places where there's a lot that's been happening in the last 50 years since the history book was published, why not consider making another book or doing an update of the book to bring things up to date? But at the same time, there are communities for which there has never been a history book or the one that exists is not very detailed. And I can give you a case in point. One that really strikes home for me is that my father's family farmed near the town of Starbuck, southwest of Winnipeg. Starbuck has never had a comprehensive history book. But if all goes well, this is going to change within the next two or so years. There is a group of Starbuck residents that is hard at work right now compiling information for a history book. They're interviewing old timers to provide a family history for each of those families, and they want to try to complete this phase of the project by this coming December. Now, I am involved, as you might imagine, given my family's connection to the area, I am helping them to assemble all the collected materials into a book. And I'm hoping it will be made available in digital form online. And that way, those that have Starbuck roots, you know, who now maybe live all over the world, will still be able to enjoy that book.
How can people who might be interested in the Starbuck History Project get in touch?
Well, they can send email to the Starbuck History Book Committee at starbuckhistory@gmail.com. StarbuckHistory@gmail.com, or they can contact me, Gordon, at mhs.mb.ca, and I'll forward them on.
Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Many towns in southern Manitoba have business buildings, things like stores, banks, and more, along their main streets. Unfortunately, in some towns, nothing of its early commercial architecture remains. Next week, we're going to visit a Manitoba town that right now is losing a significant number of historic commercial buildings along its main drag, including one building that hosted a multi-generational family business that provided an essential service to the community.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
Talk then. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.